Hello, listeners. Welcome to War of the Bay podcast. I am Kyle.
And I'm Anthony.
And Nick is doing birthday things.
He is currently drunk as fuck.
Drunk as fuck. He's about 10, maybe 30 minutes away from some birthday sex.
Oh, God.
Gonna get his wife pregnant.
Kyle's also drunk.
Allegedly. We don't know. we can't know for sure. I mean, if you want to send out a team here to test me for alcohol, I'm more than, you know, I'll welcome them with open arms in about 2-3 hours. But yeah, you can't prove that.
No, I can't.
No.
You're right. I can't prove it.
No. This is all speculation. So, what's on everybody's mind? You guys see Ghostbusters 2? I mean Ghostbusters? The original?
I did, actually.
What did you think of it?
Meh. I didn't think it was awful. I mean, it had its moments, but most of it was just kind of fell flat for me. I don't know.
Do we need more Ghostbusters? Like, I hear they're making more Ghostbusters now.
I don't think we do.
Can we have, like, an all-dogs Ghostbusters?
And then,
like,
oh, God.
Like, wouldn't that be fun? Like, if it was all dogs? Or puppets? Like, Ghostbusters with puppets?
The Muppets with Ghostbusters?
Yeah, and you can have like, Lorenzo Music do Bill Murray's part, and then you can have, you know, the guy that frequently, you know, you can bring back the whole cast, but with different voices. It'll be like literal ghosts busting ghosts. Ghosts versus ghosts. Ghostbusters 3. Like, they're all dead at this point.
Did you see it?
Is that in poor taste? Maybe.
Maybe.
I did not see it, but I'm open to seeing it because I feel like if Ghostbusters 2 can have a 50% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and if they can make a Ghostbusters 2 where Bobby Brown does the soundtrack, then maybe it's okay if we do an all-female Ghostbusters in 2016.
No, it really had nothing to do with the cast. Like, the cast is extremely talented. It just, the movie felt like it didn't do anything with that talent. It felt like one of those movies where they're like, oh yeah, the actresses and actors will carry this movie. Yeah, you don't really have to write that good of a story for it or anything like that.
For me, it's more the fact that we're remaking Ghostbusters, and did we need to go and do that? Like, did that need to happen? Like, who's out there remaking Casablanca? Like, like, are we clamoring for? I get it. I mean, I get the whole goddamn thing.
It's money. It makes money.
What I will say, though, speaking of just like that 80s genre, have you started Stranger Things on Netflix?
I have not. I've heard good things though.
It is a show. It is a show that I am enjoying right now with great pleasure. It just makes me want to be a kid in the 80s. That's all it is.
I'm just excited for the Batman Telltale game that's coming out.
There's a Batman Telltale game?
Yeah. Like the Walking Dead games and stuff like that, but with Batman.
Yeah. Didn't Telltale do... Oh, Christ, I'm going to look it up because you're not going to know. Telltale did the Penny Arcade game, I feel like. Telltale.
Yeah, they did.
Games, yeah. Like, they're pretty good. I didn't play the Walking Dead game, though.
No, I don't like the Walking Dead, but that's a reference anybody gets, so...
You mean the game or the show?
Both. I don't like either of them.
The show was good for a little bit, and then, you know, the rest of it was just...
That's a hard premise to keep interesting, I think.
Yeah. Zombies? Yeah, maybe do like a solid season and a half to, or, you know, like do 10, 20 episodes zombies, and then there you go.
Like, that's, yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah, have everybody die in the end. And
so, sports.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we're a sports podcast.
We're doing sports podcast stuff. Did you happen to see the Buccaneers? They put out that new video of the stadium.
I didn't see the video. I've been seeing pictures, though.
I looked at it. Looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, I won't lie. It looks good. I'm glad they finally decided to bite the bullet and fucking improve it.
The whole video was just like, look at our video boards. Whoa, the new experience of Raymond James Stadium. Video boards.
You almost went into the Monster Jam voice there for a second. Raymond James Stadium.
Metro PCS, I want to enter bringing the Super Bowl of Motorsports. Check out our big screen TVs. You're going to get
paid for the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
360 degrees of Gravedigger. Tickets start at only $15.
Hey, I went to that as a kid and I enjoyed it.
Never been to one of those. Never in my life.
Dude, it's fun if you're drunk.
I don't know. I feel like they're ruining the sanctity of my field. How dare you ruin that field with your stupid trucks? Get off my field.
That's really the secret to why the Bucks can't win.
Yeah.
Because Monster Jam keeps fucking up the field.
That is for football. And
even
maybe,
though it's like in the middle of February.
Yeah, maybe the occasional like U2 concert. And that's it. Maybe Kenny Chesney. That's it. Okay? That's it. You don't defy my field with your stupid big trucks and your jumps. Like, how dare you? How dare you? That's how I used to feel.
And when I was a kid, that shit sold out. Like, the stadium was packed. Now, the last time I went, when I was, I think, like a junior in high school, my family got like free tickets. And we went, and there was like nobody. It was like maybe a quarter full.
Yeah, dude.
At best.
Yeah.
It looked like a Rays game.
Yeah, the first time you went, George Bush was president. The second time you went, Obama was president. He's got to wait for Trump presidency to get in. Then you get, you know, people get a little bit more crazy and want to
see. Once the Rays move, we'll just put it in Tropicana Field.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, they'll just
you could just hear that all night long from your house.
Keep the original turf. I just want to see how quickly they can just like fuck it up. That's what I want to see.
I mean, you are, and they can do it the same week they do the IndyCar race.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Oh yeah. I love this idea.
So you can get absolutely zero sleep.
Oh, it'll be like in stereo. Yeah, I'll just you know, can we get like a, and I have all children in front of me, so like the helicopter lands on the roof. So can we get like that?
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Can we get that in like a nice loop of just like a symphony of just like big machines making noise around my house?
Just all fucking day long.
Literally, no, you haven't. You've never been more scared in your life until it's 3 a.m. and Bayflight's flying over your house, and you're like, "What? Am I dying?" Like, no, it's a helicopter.
I'm about to be on an episode of Cops. Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, it's terrifying because it's pitch dark and all you hear is just like this. It's just like an otherworldly kind of noise when it's so close to you. It's like.
My grandmother's house is really close to MacDill Air Force Base.
Mm.
And you've never been scared until a fighter jet buzzes over the house at 7 a.m. when you're trying to sleep.
I know, but if you're a little kid, I'd be like, awesome.
Yeah, no, it's awesome once you realize that the house isn't falling down. It's just the jet going over.
Yeah.
But
would you feel safe or not safe living next to a military base?
Not safe.
Probably not safe, yeah.
Because it's like one of the first targets if we ever got like a full-scale attack.
Yeah, yeah, there's a reason why they attacked Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Yeah, yep.
Yep, yep. We're going to be a target one day.
So sports!
Sports! I'm just saying. Fucking, you know, maybe don't live in South Tampa. I don't know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding!
Don't live in South Tampa because it's going to flood every day. I'm kidding. So yeah. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, most of St. Pete does as well.
Yeah. Right. Welcome to Florida.
Welcome to Florida. I feel like there's we are a week away, 2 weeks away from training camp starting.
I think 7 days actually.
7 days from training camp starting.
They tweeted out a picture of Martin Gramatica today and said 7 days from training camp.
Oh, lovely. It's the most wonderful time of the year, unless the Grays are doing well, in which case I won't be that excited.
But you know what? I wanna bring this up since we're kinda, it's got something to do with the Bucks. I think people are more excited for hockey to come back, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I get that sense that it's hockey has the market's attention right now. Like they're full attention, and you know, it's ebbed and flowed. It's been the Bucks, it's been the Rays, and now it's the Lightning again.
Yeah.
The Lightning actually.
But don't you feel like it's a little different with the Lightning?
It is in the sense that it's different from the last time, because the last time it kind of came out of nowhere and you had the we won it all, but then you had the lockout and after that, everybody kind of lost interest. Like the Bucks, I think maybe the Bucks had a pretty solid season the year after. I want to say that was like 2005. Yeah, the Bucks made the playoffs, and then it kind of like that whole thing petered out. This time feels a lot different because it's like this sustained playoff run with multiple conference championship appearances. And that's reminiscent of the late 90s Bucks. Like a team has not done that in this area since the late 90s Bucks. So yeah, I mean that is a lot different.
You know what's, even as big as a Lightning fan I am, I fully accept the fact that when the Bucks are good, they're Tampa's baby.
It's true. Yeah. Like if the Bucks have a good season this year, it'll very quickly people will be very excited about the Bucks. And
I like the Bucks, and like, but I'm not a super fan like you, but like I enjoy the Bucks a lot. Obviously I live in the area, so, and I'm not an asshole that roots for somebody else, but like at the same time, like it's kind of nice to watch the Lightning sort of have their moment in the sun for an extended period of time, because I think it's been a long time coming in this area.
It's deservedly so. But you know what? An interesting thing I want to bring up is maybe, I don't think we've ever had two teams in this area be hot at the same time, have we? Like maybe the Bucks and the
Someone was playing well when the Rays were playing well. Well,
Bucks and Lightning have always kind of like think about this. Like nobody ever, or you never think about it in these kind of terms, but the Bucks won a championship, then a year later, the Lightning won one. Like that's two championships right there. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was nice.
So, I guess that sort of counts. But
in the same like calendar year, not really. Like I don't remember a time when the Lightning were having a great season and the Bucks were having a great season, or the Rays and were in the playoffs and the Bucks were having a good start to their season, kind of thing. Like. It seems like we get one team at a time.
Right.
But I feel like since the Lightning are set up for maybe another 5-6 years if they just keep it together, 5-6 years of really good sustained success, by that time, hopefully the Bucks will have it together. I don't know about the Rays, as we've talked about, but I feel like the Bucks are maybe pointing in the right direction a little bit.
I feel that as well. I mean, there's a lot of optimism surrounding the team at this juncture. I still maintain my 6-10 outlook because of the strength of our schedule.
So do I.
But I mean, let's just say something crazy happens and Jameis Winston is realizing some ungodly potential, or a lot of the potentials that Seminole Nation puts on him, and. which I would be remiss to not want. Perhaps we could do better. I mean, I think Justin Pawlowski, I think this week he tweeted that 8-8 could possibly be their floor this season.
Ooh, here we go again.
I know.
Here we fucking go again. We haven't even won. We haven't even gone over 500 yet, and people are like, "Oh, our floor is 8-8." It's no, it's not. Our floor is like 6-10.
We do this
and
every year.
About that is just an improvement. You fucking goddamn it! Every, here we go again.
Every fucking year with this, we're like, we're better. We're better. We won the offseason. We're better.
And what's gonna happen? Like the week before the season starts, we're gonna all be on here with our foam fingers and our hats and all that, and our shirts and stuff like that. Like, yeah, here we go. This is the year. Like,
still no. week one at Atlanta away. Or I mean, it's at Atlanta, but still, I mean, that's a pretty favorable matchup. One would think.
Yeah, 1 week. Then you got the whole rest of the season. I'm just not ready to crown them. I don't know why anybody is.
Yeah,
let them prove it first, and then when they prove it and they do it consistently and they start winning again, then yeah, then I'm ready to to get behind them and say, yeah, here we go, we got something here. But they haven't shown anything besides Winston. His flashes of potential to show that there's anything to prove that this team's going to be better.
We've had a lot of good off seasons. I mean, I remember the last 5-6 off seasons were like, oh, we had a great off season,
man.
Yeah,
yeah, we signed Eric Wright to a gigantic deal that went well.
Yeah, let's just wait.
Carl Nix almost lost his foot.
Oh, like, yeah, Eric Wright. That's right.
Yeah, and then the only good signing, really, has been Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, V-Jax.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, again, It'd be nice, but there just seems to be another. Maybe this happens every off season, and it's just a short memory. You know, I have a goldfish memory when it comes to the Bucks, but it feels like there's a little bit of a good optimism surrounding them this year. And then perhaps
I think everybody has that with their sports teams that are really close to their heart, like with the Lightning and the Gators. For me, like, they could both have shit rosters. They'd be like, yeah, maybe they make the wild cards, you know.
Yeah.
But like with the Bucks, I just have much more of a down outlook on them because they've just been, outside of the one year when they won the Super Bowl, they've pretty much been bad my whole life.
I think out of the three teams in the area, I've been the hardest on them recently. So
yeah, you have for sure.
Deservedly so. Fuck them.
Yeah, they've just been a joke. But
yeah, I mean, they've done nothing but embarrass me.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, they've done nothing but embarrass me. So I mean, that's deservedly so.
Well, you were also alive for that run leading up to the Super Bowl too. I was too, but I was really little.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't remember a lot of it. Yeah, I remember the Super Bowl very clearly, but before that, like, I barely remember that Rams game and stuff that.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't fully there for all of that. So you've had the experience of watching the team be good consistently. I really haven't.
Yeah, I got there at the right time, or I grew up at the right time, because when I was when I was a little kid, it was when they were terrible. And I knew they were terrible, and I was still a fan, but I was a little kid, and I didn't comprehend sports. I was just like, yeah, we won a thing, or we lost. Oh, whatever, let's go play. Like, now,
when you're a little kid, you don't really care about the outcome. Like, the team could be like 4-6 or whatever, 4-8, and you'd be like, ah, fuck it, I hope we win this week.
I know,
you're not thinking ahead. Like,
your dad's like, we lost. And it's like, is that bad? Yeah, that's bad, son. Oh, okay. Can we go to ice cream?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that short-term memory when you're a little kid.
Still.
Now everything's painful.
Painful and just... So Derek Chappelle, new father Derek Chappelle, texted me before the podcast, and he sent me a tweet from Micro Grimes that said, 620 WDAE can kiss any interview ideas they had for Brent Grimes, goodbye. And they better put that bitch ass, a.k.a. Big Dog, on a leash. Oh. Oh, oh.
Snap.
I put an extra ass in there. He just said they better put their bitch, Big Dog, on a leash. I love Miko Grimes.
Big Dog, friend of the show.
She's the best. She doesn't give a single fuck. She's out there just like... Like, let her rip. Let's go, baby.
You didn't say anything about interview opportunities with Word of the Bay being gone.
Ew, come on. I don't know if I want to go down that road. I just want to be a sideline observer and just look at her. Like, look at what happens with Miko Grimes. Be like, this is awesome. This is great.
I've never seen a player's wife, like, just have this much attention consistently like this.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? Like, nobody give a shit about Austin Seferian Jenkins. There was a couple of news stories and everything. But, like as soon as Miko Grimes starts tweeting, it's like, oh, there, Miko Grimes got to write a story. Like, it's awesome.
It is a slow season, too. I
love her, man. Let her say any kind of crazy-ass shit that she wants. She doesn't give a single fuck. I don't care. What is she doesn't play for my team. Her husband does.
Yeah, hopefully her husband shows up. Yeah, and I'm plays sure, well. That's sure. All I really care about.
I'm sure he will. If he doesn't, then he's what? He's what are we out? He's what, 32 years old, and he's signed to 2 years, I believe. I think he's got like a 2-year deal going. Yeah, what are we out? Nothing.
He's a guy. Yeah, well, you know, if he fails here, he's probably gonna just start talking shit about the Bucks. And then you're going to be on here like, oh, fuck her. No, she's no shit.
No, who could? No, because who is she? Like, when is, like, what other example can you think of where, like, somebody that isn't a player but is connected to the player, it's just such a strange situation. I kind of feel like, yeah, it's just you, Miko. You're funny.
The only other wife I can think of is Tyne's wife back when he was going through all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Marshall.
Yeah, I didn't care about that.
Yeah, that was different, though.
I got blocked by him. I got blocked by Lawrence Tynes.
Oh, you're one of those?
Yeah.
I do not like people that, like, I don't like that people attacked him for that. Like, that's stupid. Like, it was negligence on the organization's part.
I forget even why I got blocked. I might have been attacking him.
He's probably said something about, because he said some bad stuff about the organization after that.
Yeah, I probably talked a little shit.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hey, don't even want to talk some shit. We traded blows, but, you know, it was fine. She just, Miko Grimes is hilarious to me. She's awesome. I want more. I want more. Yeah, I'm just like, do more crazy shit. Like, let's punch Big Dog. Like, you guys do like a fight or something. Can we get like a fight going? Like, for charity. We'll do it for charity. But I mean, like, I want to see like a fight or something. Or just, you know, she like spits in like some dude's face from the Times.
It'd definitely be more entertaining than a show. That's for sure. Yeah.
Oh, can we get her a reality show? That'd be great.
No, let's not.
Let's do it. Come on. We've got to get on.
No, I don't want to further pollute the pool over please, though.
You know, if that we were on Hard Knocks, like if the Bucks were on Hard Knocks this year, they would be all over Miko Grimes. They'd want it. They'd love her. They'd love her. Come on.
He just seems like almost like Grimes is her son, and she's the crazy mother on like the foot practice field and football practice. That's what it seems like to me.
She's proud of her. She's proud of her son. She's good. And like the best part is like he never says anything about her. Like he just kind of is like, yeah, that's just her. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't because
that's true.
Just she does her own thing. I wonder
what he's really like. I wonder if he's just like a sort of a meek guy. He's just kind of like, yeah, I don't know, man.
Dude, he seems like he's just super quiet and like she does a little talking for him. That's like the vibe I get from that couple.
It's a power couple.
She's yelling from the stands at the players that he's playing against.
Could you imagine if you combine the two, you'd have maybe the greatest corner in NFL history, because he would just, or maybe not the greatest, but like he would just talk a bunch of shit. He'd be like a slightly better D'Angelo Hall, something like that, where he just talks a bunch of shit and like gets burned every once in a while.
Every corner does.
Yeah. Like Aqib Talib. Like a slightly worse Aqib Talib. Maybe right in the middle of D'Angelo Hall and Aqib Talib. Like that's what Miko Grimes.
Aqib Talib.
Yeah. Bramiko Grimes.
Dude, it feels like forever since he's been a Buck now.
Yeah, it's only been like, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, it hasn't really been that long, but he bounced from the Patriots to the Broncos, I think.
Yeah, good for him. Good for that guy. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Got two Super Bowl rings?
I think he won that one where the Patriots picked him off on the 1 yard line or something like that.
No, that was
part of that team.
No, he was with the Broncos, I think, then.
Oh, okay, then he doesn't have to. No.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Revis got a ring with that Patriots.
Yeah, Revis did. Yeah.
He went back to the Jets.
Another former Buccaneer. Hey.
Can you imagine the secondary we could have had?
Dude, you could make a pretty an awesome team of former Buccaneers who won Super Bowls with other teams. Like,
yeah, you could make a playoff team out of former Buccaneers. We should probably do that one week.
We should. I don't know who's. Yeah. Let's see. Keyshawn Johnson? Did he? No. I'll look into that. I'll look into that.
Yeah, we should.
I'm pretty sure you can do that. So,
just think of the quarterbacks that we would have on there.
Yeah.
Steve Young,
Trent Dilfer. That's pretty much it.
Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah. I don't think Testaverde won one.
Oh, that won Super Bowls. Oh, okay.
Yeah. They got to win a Super Bowl.
I thought you just meant like good players.
Oh. No. They got at least, we'll say like they either have to go to a Super Bowl or they have to win a Super Bowl. One of the two.
I mean, did Trent Dilfer really go to that Super Bowl?
Yeah,
he was just kind of there. He was on the sideline. He's chilling out.
He didn't fuck it up, just like Peyton Manning. Did not fuck it up.
Brad Johnson.
That's all he had to do. Yeah, just he won his way. He defensed his way to a Super Bowl ring. Just like,
yeah, more power to him. He's got more Super Bowl rings than I'll ever have.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Although I could have won a Super Bowl with that defense. Let's move on.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, probably not. I just hand the ball off a few times. How hard could it be? Right?
Pull your ACL at week one.
Hey, I can do it. We talked about Connacher being back, right?
We did, but briefly, because we spent most of the last week doing the list thing.
Oh, yeah. It took longer than I thought it would take.
Yeah, it did. There was a lot of anger in that episode.
Yeah, but, you know, that's fine. That's how these things tend to shake out. But Alex Killorn just signed a huge deal. Let me just.
I mean, I like the money. like the 4.5, like that's fine. Like I think he's worth that, but the term is a little scary.
Why
7 years is scary to me?
Why is 7 years scary to you?
Because I feel it's not like you're signing a Hedman or a Stamkos. You're signing a guy that hasn't even scored 20 goals in his career. Like, he could easily tank and be horrible, and then you're stuck with that contract for 7 years. I mean, I think after 3 years, it modified no trade clause, where he can be moved to, I think he put 16 teams he'd be willing to be traded to.
Yeah,
So there's a way out of it eventually, but he's not the type of player that I'm that comfortable with giving that amount of term to. If Kucherov signed for 7 years, I'd be ecstatic, but Killorn feels like it's the type of player he could just fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah. But I mean, you would think that he's like a role player kind of guy. You don't want to give 7 years to somewhat of a role player. Because from what I hear, he works well with Steven Stamkos. Maybe that's a reason why. He plays well on the same line with him. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I like Killorn as a player. I have no beef with him like I do with some of the other guys on this team. But, I just don't – when I saw the term immediately, I felt like a pit in my stomach. That contract's going to come back and bite us. Because, I know he's young still, and he's going to be, I think, 32 or 33 when that contract ends. I think he's 26 right now. I forget, honestly. But you just don't give that kind of money to role players or that kind of term to role players. I mean, he's a role player. That's what he is. He can play in a lot of different positions. He's versatile, but he's not a superstar. And I didn't see him going forward as a core of this team. I felt like he was going to be one of the guys that would be a cap casualty.
It sort of seems that Stevie Yzerman has a propensity to do these sort of moves with your Ryan Callahan's, Valtteri Filppulas, and Alex Killorn's of the world.
Yeah. I mean, every GM is going to have blunders. I don't want to say this is a blunder, because the term is – the money's fine. The 4.5 is fine. It's not a Ryan Callahan deal where that's just going to suck up a huge chunk of our cap, but I just it kind of caught me off guard because I didn't expect him to get that kind of deal.
I don't think anybody expected that.
No one did. Someone's got to go now, I'll tell you that. Someone's not some big player on this team is not going to be here when the season starts. That's already under contract, whether that's Val or Callie or somebody else. I don't know. Someone's got to go though. Because now we only have 8.5 and we still have Kucherov and Vladdy to sign.
Got to get rid of Filppula. Got to get him out of here.
I think he's the easiest to move.
He's got 2 years left, and then he's unrestricted. So.
Yep. Yeah. And then next year, you probably, if you don't trade Bishop, he comes off the books next year. So that's more cap relief.
I think that's a good idea. Or, yeah. So, trade Val this year, Mm-hmm. And let it ride with Bishop. Then, and if you want to re-sign him, then you can. If perhaps Vasi hasn't done well this year, if not, just let him walk, and then there you go.
Yeah, or Jerber brings up a good point. You could package Val and Bishop.
I think you. I don't know, man.
In the same package, you could probably get a pretty nice return for that.
I kind of convinced myself I want to see us let it ride with Bishop. I really want to see Bishop just stick around for 1 year and just say, fuck it, let's just go. I mean, you could go.
I bounce back and forth all offseason, really. There's been times where I feel like two goalies are better than one. It'd be, that having that depth like that is rare in this league. You see some teams like the Stars scrounging just to find a starter, an average starter, but we have two starters that have elite potential. One of them is elite and the other one has elite potential. But at the same time, Bishop could fetch some nice prospects.
Yeah, he could.
He really could. We could the farm system could get even better if we made a move and traded him.
Yeah, that does sound sexy. It does.
It does sound really sexy. And there's teams out there that are willing to give up quite a few prospects for him, a pretty penny for him. And the Stars are one of them, and they've got some guys that I would very much like to see in Lightning uniforms.
Man, it really looked like we were in trouble for the next 2 years. But when I look at our cap situation, you know, the only pressing issues I see are perhaps Tyler Johnson, Palat, maybe Jonathan Drouin, of course.
Yeah, well, Drouin's got this season, and we'll see where he ends up at the end of it. If he continues to play like he did, which I think he will. But if he does, then he's going to be due for a nice pay raise. Johnson's probably the one I don't know what's going to happen with him, because he could come back out and have a year like he had 2 years ago and go off and then price us way out. Or he could have a really down year again, and then we could bring him back cheap.
Let's say Jonathan Drouin comes out this year, scores 20 goals. He becomes a 20-goal scorer this year. How much money is that going to command? Is that going to be
20 goals?
$5 million?
Who's he playing with, Stamkos?
He's either playing first or second line, yeah.
Top six. I could see him getting a similar deal to what Palat and Johnson are on currently, which is like 3 years, $12 million. Yeah, like $4 to $6 million.
You think so? Really?
In that range. Yeah, because... Because at that point, it'll be one playoffs and one season of really good play. And you don't get to Steven Stamkos money or something like that off of a season in like a quarter.
Well, yeah, I didn't think he... I'm not thinking, you know, eight...
Yeah,
nine.
But 4 to 6 is probably where I put him for like 3-4 years maybe.
Right. Okay.
It really depends on what our cap situation looks at that point and what... Kucherov is going to get as well.
Kucherov probably looks at Ryan Callahan and is like, yo, man, this dude's making 5.8. And
he's going to get more than Callahan, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's probably going to get maybe like 6.5.
Jesus Christ almighty. That's going to – oh, Jesus. That's going to – what? We're going to be $2 million under cap? After that, maybe?
And you still need to sign Vladdy at that point. That's why I'm saying someone's got to go, man.
Yeah, you got to go. Get Filippula the fuck out of here.
Yep. I mean, there's also the possibility of a bridge deal for Drouin, like they're saying in the chat, like a 2-3 year deal. And then, like, when the cap is more cleared up, then they give him a bigger contract. Like they did with Subban. Montreal took that risk with Subban back when he was... still within favor in that organization. They traded him for fucking Shea Weber, which is hilarious.
But how the fuck is he not? How do you fall out of favor? How does that guy fall out of favor?
Because Montreal are fucking morons. And it's good for us because they're in our division, so let them keep being morons. They're fucking idiots. They're idiots. They don't want to hire a coach who's not French-Canadian, number one, which is so stupid because then you're just limiting yourself. The best French-Canadian coach on the market, Di Boucher, who used to be our coach... he went to the Sens instead of them because they refused to fire their horrible coach. They're a shitty organization and they don't know how to build a team. And it's pretty evident at this point. And that's good for us. The more teams in the division that suck, the better.
Yeah. Plus we don't get the 1-3-1 in our division.
Well, no, we're going to play the 1-3-1 maybe because he's coaching the Sens now.
Oh, do you think they fuck with him?
Oh, maybe the Lightning? Probably not. It's been a while.
Come on.
Maybe he was more fresh. They might run the 1-3-1. The Flyers did it to us. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And lost, you fuckheads. A lot of good that did you. That was a complete joke. Play the goddamn game. Or at least I don't know why we didn't I don't know why our forecheck just didn't go up and forecheck.
The 1-3-1's. There's a reason nobody runs the 1-3-1.
But like, what would have been the
ever?
What's the disadvantage if Marty St. Louis would have just went up there and started the forecheck back in their zone? Like, isn't that the same sort of thing? Why was he waiting for them? I don't get it. I don't get that.
Yeah, it's just how it goes. Maybe the coaches said something. Who knows?
I guess
players don't always have free reign to do whatever they want on the ice, even though it seems like it.
I still feel like you'd be. you'd be following that general philosophy of sending them into traffic of three men in that in the neutral zone by just going and attacking and being a forechecker. But I don't know. What the fuck do I know?
And we played our best hockey this past year when we got aggressive on the forecheck. It was when we got into shells that we started getting our asses kicked.
Right.
And that adjustment wasn't made until the playoffs. And then Cooper went right back to it when we played the Pens, which I didn't. And then we lost two games. I didn't understand it at all. Like, stop bottling the skill and the speed. Stop it. Like, the year before, that's all we did. Skill and speed and then aggressiveness. The fucking defensemen are jumping in on the rush. Everybody's involved. And all of a sudden, we become like this turtle team.
Oh.
Like,
Cooper's looking at matchups. He's looking at the different lines and how the lines match up. So I can't blame him for maybe changing the philosophy slightly when we play the Penguins versus when we play the Red Wings or goddamn, who do we play in the
Islanders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't blame him for that.
It's strange. It was just strange to me, but we'll see. I like where the team is heading. Really, a couple months ago, I wasn't too sure of the future of this team. I don't think any of us were. But now it's pretty clear where we're going, and I think everybody's got a reason to be excited. It's going to be fun.
Yes, of course. We're gonna be good for a long time, hopefully. I mean,
yeah.
You never know.
Don't.
I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but I just...
No, you never.
On paper, it looks like we're going to be...
A whole calendar year can make a big difference with a franchise.
Right. But, I mean, on paper, it looks like we're set up for a long, long time.
Yep.
Stamkos. He's going to retire at Bolt. 2021.
That's the plan.
That's like that 2021. That's what they used to talk about in fiction as being like the future. We're going to have video phones and people are going to ride around flying cars. That's how long Stamkos.
I've got a proposition for you.
What's that?
Why don't we, because Austin Matthews, the Leafs first overall pick, is from Arizona. When he becomes a UFA at some point, or when his UFA year's coming up, I think that Tampa should start a whole fucking thing about how he needs to go but home to Arizona. And I think Arizona should join in on it too. Everybody should just get involved.
Yeah.
And just tweet at Toronto accounts all day long about, oh, yeah, no, he's coming home. He's coming back to Arizona.
Yeah, that's where he wants to be. That's where he wants
to go.
That's
where he wants to play. You guys don't know anything. I think we should just do that.
Arizona will be like a really shitty team that has like that just happens to have enough cap space to fill in $8 million a year. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's it's writing's on the wall, man.
They'll tweet us like, oh, he'd never leave the hockey mecca of Toronto. And we'll be like, yeah. Stamkos didn't go there, did he?
They'll go and hire some like great American coach and like, oh well, that's it. Look, this is it's written in stone here. Look, they've just hired this guy and
we're changing the city name to Glendale, to Canada. And yeah, he's going to stay. You don't know anything. Yeah. I just want to do that just to get back in the middle of the whole year.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Wouldn't it?
They'd be like, "What the fuck?"
How's it feel, you fuckers?
Don't we have isn't there like a big super prospect that came from like Florida?
I think Ghost Bear.
Bear?
Yeah, well, his name is Gostis B here, but everybody calls him
Ghost Bear.
Yeah.
That's the greatest name ever.
Hold on, I'm going to look up. I think he's from Florida.
Ghost Bear. Jared, in all cap letters, says, I'm for this.
He's from Pembroke Pines, Florida. Shane Gostis B here.
Yeah, Ghost Bear. Yeah, well, he's coming back to the Panthers. He's coming home to the Panthers.
He's coming home.
So it's clear. Pretty clear.
Yep. You guys don't know anything.
Northern
media outlets.
Robert says that the great Brad Richards retired.
Yeah, the whole big three is retired, man.
Oh, shit, you're right. Oh, we're getting old.
I know. It's weird.
This is
fucking Vinny and Marty and Richards are all retired. I think everybody's retired from that team. I don't know. Is Dan Boyle still active?
I don't know.
I mean, he's on the Rangers last year. So.
Let's look. Dan.
I think he's a free agent. Yeah, he's unrestricted. Yeah, he's probably done. So, man, that whole team is done.
We need somebody someone from the Tampa Tribune to tell us whether or not we're right. Is that whole team done? Are they done? don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of maybe like a few guys that are like hanging on in the minors or something like that, maybe. Yeah. I don't know, but I think everybody's done. That's and that makes me feel extremely old.
It makes me feel very old. That was like, was my what's the right junior year in high school.
Can we talk about that draft, man? That Vinny and Richards draft when we got them in the same fucking draft.
Yeah, that's just
Vinny
like the
and Brad Richards.
That's like the Brooks Sapp draft for the Bucks. Like that's a once in a lifetime draft.
Yeah, and that team. God, they could have won back-to-back. Oh!
Yep.
I fucking hate the NHL.
Yep.
Everybody was back. Everybody was ready for another run, and then everybody got a year older. And
Javi Bullen leaves.
Yep. Fuck.
Then we're stuck with, what was his name?
Graham
yeah.
Cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Mike Smith.
Oh, yeah, then Mike Smith after that, who somehow
man,
does
we
well.
Had some bad goalies.
Oh, Kari Ramo. And
half a year Dwayne Rollison.
Dwayne Rollison, yeah.
With his ridiculous run that they had there.
Just barely holding it together. He's like being held
together.
I don't
think Yzerman gets enough credit for that 2011 team and how he put them together in one offseason.
Yeah, that was
that
all
run.
Him.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck it, Dwayne Rollison, go.
Yeah, he just fucking, like, all these little pieces like Steve Downey and guys like that and just fucking put together a team to make one run, and then after that, he was like, "All right, now we gotta do this correctly."
Like, yeah, everybody leave.
Yeah, everybody, goodbye.
Vinny, we're buying you out. Sorry.
That came a little later, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Of course.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and we're gonna reset the chat, even though it's 11 minutes in. I think we've done quite well with this podcast.
We killed 50 minutes already.
We did. Yeah, we're doing quite well. We're cruising right along. So we have one team left to talk about. You guys know who they are. We're gonna save the last half of the show for that.
Yep, Tampa Bay Storm coming up.
Tampa Bay Storm talk coming up. Your Derek Brooks presidented Tampa Bay Storm. We're going to be talking a lot about that. We're going to be talking about your Rowdies. We're going to throw in a little bit of Orlando City in there. So, you know, you're going to want to stay tuned. And it's going to be a big
no game. Magic, though, because fuck basketball.
Yeah, no Magic. Yeah, we don't do Magic on this show. And, I don't know, maybe we'll talk a little Heat. Maybe a little Marlins. Throw that in there, too. Anyway.
Scott Stapp going.
You know, a perfect game.
Damn.
A triple play.
Another playoff race.
God damn it. Okay, break time. Guess what, you guys? It's time to tell you about Loot Crate. What is Loot Crate? Loot Crate is a monthly box subscription service that's going to hook you up with some epic geek and gamer items. Every month, you're going to get about 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, t-shirts, and a whole lot more. And every month they have themes to their crates. Right now, in this particular week, it's too late because you have until the 19th of each month to subscribe to receive that month's crate. And after that, it's over. So this being 22nd, you're not going to get this month's crate, but you're still going to get something pretty cool. They have a bunch of different kinds of crates. Like I think they have one that's specifically for Firefly and... you know, all sorts of stuff. So make sure you go on over to lootcrate.com/shark. Put in the promo code SHARKDROPPER. You're going to save yourself 10% off your first Loot Crate. And that's pretty much it. I mean, it's a $45 value that you get each month for, I think it's less than 20 bucks. So you're going to save even more than that by going to lootcrate.com/shark and entering the promo code SHARKDROPPER. So, I highly recommend it. Last month's theme was future with like Rick and Morty and Futurama and Star Trek. And this next month's theme, I haven't seen yet, but they're always pretty awesome. So, again, lootcrate.com/shark, promo code SHARKDROPPER. We're back now.
Boy, if you don't show up for the Mixer chat, you just missed like 20 minutes of superhero talk.
I know. I was not expecting. Yeah. I thought we were going to be done by 9:30, but it's 9:22.
Not
going
to happen.
Yeah. We paused at 9, or no, we paused at like 8:40 something.
Yeah, well, you disappeared into the void for like 15 minutes.
Nah, it was like 5 minutes. Well, you got to go get a drink. Got to go say hi to the lady. Do all that whole thing. So
I know. Kyle's a good boyfriend, so he's gonna say hi to his girlfriend instead of ignoring her to do internet things with his internet friends.
That's the kind of guy I am.
Because he does that the other days of the week.
But then we just spent the last 30 minutes talking about superheroes, superhero movies. So that's what you're
missing.
Let's
talk about something that's not so super. Why don't we? The Tampa Bay Rays.
I guess. Should we do the whole shtick where we ask if the Rays suck? Do we do that whole thing? Or do we just like retire that?
Is it not going to be the same? I don't think Nick's here. I don't think he's here. He's not here.
Wait, is he here? No, he's not here.
No, he's not here.
I mean, I don't know. I don't see the point in doing the shtick, but I think we have to do it. I mean, it's still the season.
Yeah, it's tradition.
Yeah, so why don't we find out right now if the Rays suck? Even though we already know the answer. Bum, 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 boom.
Bum, bum. The fuck is going on?
What the fuck is going on with the Rays right now?
A lot of things, man. And none of them good.
Well, we all know the answer to this question, even though the Rays, guys, the Rays are winners of two games in a row. How about that? Didn't think that was going to happen, did you, you fucks?
Hey, we're back to 20 games under 500.
Let's see.
I think we're 37 and 57 or something like that.
You know, if you look at things from the All-Star break, it didn't look too bad. I mean, loss to the Orioles, Orioles went 2 out of 3, and then we take 2 out of 3 from the Rockies. I mean, overall, that's a split. You split that.
I got an idea here, and just hear me out here.
Okay.
We go to the Rockies front office. Our front office goes to their front office, and they go, listen, okay? We get it. You guys can't pitch. We can't hit. In our good days, we can pitch. Usually we can pitch, but this season's kind of been weird. You guys can hit constantly. Why don't we just combine teams?
Yeah, we merge teams.
Yeah, we become the Colorado Rays.
The Rocky Rays.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rockies. And we just put our farm systems together, and we just become a super team and win all the championships.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the best of both worlds. I mean, we both get a championship. We all get some legal weed. Like, you guys get some sunshine and lightning. And look,
we get mountains and snow.
Yeah,
and
you can have some of our hockey team, too. Like, we can all share in the love. The Avalanche sucks. So, I mean, come on. This is just...
Yeah, like, listen, the Rockies are really good at developing hitters, and it's not just Coors Field. Like, they really are good at developing hitters. And we're really good at developing pitchers, usually. So, it's a win-win. We can do this. We'll just merge together.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we can't sell out half our games anyway. So, I mean, you guys can take most. You know, we can just split the home games up, right?
Our payroll automatically gets doubled.
Yeah. And then the stadium issues solved. Look at everything that's solved. Everybody wins, says Jer Bear.
Yeah.
But we can't do that. And actually, I got quite a bit to talk about with the Rays today. I mean,
let's do it. I do as well. We have a friend of the show that contributed.
A friend.
Things.
Yeah. I mean, so Jason Stark, who is a MLB insider, I mean, he's your Adam Schefter, Chris Mortensen, Ian Rappaport of MLB. He tweeted today that it's a 70% chance that Chris Archer is traded to the Dodgers, which to me is I'm instantly wary because it's Andrew Friedman who we're dealing with. I mean, we're about to get Friedman, guys. Like, we know how this works, right? Like, they trade off some talent and they get a bunch of shit in return and they go on and win and we're fucked. Like, that's what we did for
you.
You
know what's going to happen. Like, Silverman's going to call him and he's going to be sitting in his office with his feet up. And Mr. Friedman, Silverman on line one. And he goes, oh, really? Yeah, I'll take that call. Just give me a few minutes. And then all of a sudden we traded Chris Archer for like their bench coach or something like that. Like,
but I mean, in all seriousness, I tweeted today that this feels like Anakin Skywalker versus Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, this is what this feels like.
I'm really disappointed you didn't have the video queued up there.
Me too. And I'm not gonna take the time to do it now because it'll take too long to load. I know that from experience of playing videos when I'm drunk on the podcast. But just pretend like I did it here. And it's
wait a second. This is a YouTube. God damn it.
He was the chosen one. Oh, you had the perfect response. It was great. But yeah, I feel like Cashman is maybe out of his league. I don't know. Do I trust him to trade away this young talent like the Jake Odorizes and the Chris Archers of the world, perhaps even Evan Longoria they're talking about trading? Do you really trust him to make the right decision?
It depends, maybe. I don't know. Like, I feel like they know that they need to get a big return for someone like Archer. Like, I'd be more concerned if they didn't know that. But at the same time, I feel like he might turn down something that would actually be really good because he doesn't feel like it's enough for Archer. Like, I don't know where that balance is.
Well, I mean, let's just talk about who potentially is on the table. You've got Chris Archer, who is under contract right now. You've got Jake Odorizzi, who's our best pitcher. You've got Drew Smyly, who is not quite our best pitcher, but he still seems to, you know, he had that one good year after we traded him from Detroit. He could get you something down the road. And then even Evan Longoria is being talked about as being shopped around out there for a potential trade deal.
I'm like 100% okay with that. I've come to that conclusion.
You know, it sucks. It really sucks because it's now becoming a stark reality because we're 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, and it's going to happen. I mean, there's so many reports out there that we know it's going to happen, and it sucks. I hate every time this happens because you invest so much time and energy into this player, of liking this player, of watching him come up in your system. And then fuck it, he's gone. He's gonna go to another team. And he's gonna do something.
Would you be more or less surprised if we? Okay, let me put it this way: if we don't trade anybody by the trade deadline, are you gonna be more surprised than if we did?
Yes. I will be very surprised if nobody, if this team remains intact, come the end of the trade deadline. Yeah,
I think we've talked about this for the past few weeks, but I really do think it's time to look forward.
It is. No. I'm saying. I mean. I know what you're saying. It totally is. I'm just saying it sucks as a fan.
Especially because Longoria is having such a good year.
Yeah, I mean, it just
sucks to see that go to waste as well.
I don't want to see guys leave our team. Like, I like our players. You genuinely get a liking for those guys.
I see some people on Twitter talking about Longoria and how they'll be so pissed off at the organization if he gets moved and all that kind of stuff. And like, I understand where you're coming from, but you got to realize something. This team is not going anywhere anytime soon. And the only way that we can fix that is by trading away the best players on this team and hopefully getting a package in return that sets us up for the future.
You're right.
There's nowhere else to go. We don't have the money to go put a good team around Longoria and the other guys on this team. And we don't have the farm system to just wait a few years. We're stuck in that like limbo, and it's time to make a move. It's time to start tearing this down and building it back up. And like we've talked about, is the front office the right people for this job? I don't know.
I don't know either, but I think we do know who could be the right man for the job. And we asked him before the podcast to contribute to the show. And
yep.
And he so graciously sent us a very long email. That would be
very long and detailed email.
Yeah. Let me get his at over here. I'd be.
Yeah.
So, Carlos, if you're a Rays Twitter guy, or if you're a Rays Twitter person, I should say, you know who Carlos is. He's at Carlo, Carlo. Jesus Christ, Carlos. What are you doing with your fucking Twitter name?
He's been suspended like three times.
So. How am I supposed to read this? Like it used to be Cormit, and it was easy.
It used to be Carblos. Okay.
Yeah, it's Carblos. Okay, that's what it
Carlos,
is.
Carlos. He's got a Kermit the Frog picture with a Rays hat on. He's a really good follow if you like the Rays.
You know who?
He's super knowledgeable guy.
Yeah,
super.
Like, you know who the fuck he is. So, with Nick being out of the show, I asked him. I was like, "Hey, do you have like a usable microphone you can come on the show?" And he's like, "Nah, I really don't." And I'm like, "Well, I said I am really dumb when it comes to the return on trades. I have no idea what I'm looking at when I look at the farm system and everything like that. Like, do you think it can help me?" And he's like, "Yeah." So he sends me an email, and I tell Anthony before the show, I say, "Anthony, I was drinking too much to read the email. Can you help me?" No, seriously. He sends us a very nice, he sent us a very
long and detailed email.
Long. What he basically said in the top end, which I agree with, is he says that Archer is perhaps more valuable than Price because he has.
I can read it if you want to.
Well, I mean, just paraphrasing, because he has much control.
Paragraph.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. He goes, "Look at it this way. Chris Archer actually has more value right now than Price did when he was traded. Why? Well, Price was like a year and a half away from free agency, but he was starting to make hefty amounts in arbitration. Archer, on the other hand, signed a 6-year deal worth $25 million. Could be like $43 million in total if the team exercises his options. That's cheap as hell for a player like him."
Which I agree with.
He's got control.
Yeah.
Archer's got control. Whoever we trade him to is going to have plenty of control over him for the next for a while, really.
That's the big thing in this day and age. He brings up in the second paragraph that what we got for Price was you know, two solid guys, but we weren't able to get as much as maybe we could have because of the control over Price.
Well, he says that Willie Adames is really the big thing in that trade. If he pans out, then we'll probably look back at that trade pretty fondly. But if he doesn't, then we probably won't.
God damn it, Willie Adames, if you listen to this podcast. So this is according to Carlos, he says, this is what we have right now as far as trading Chris Archer. So he brings up Jose De Leon, who is currently playing for the Oklahoma City Dodgers. He's a pitcher. He says De Leon plus ? And then what does it say here? He talks about Alex Verdugo.
Yeah, the Dodgers 6th-rated prospect, 20 years old, knocking on the door in Double-A. He says he could hit 320 homers every year in right field. That'd be awesome.
From what I hear, I mean, the Dodgers have a big logjam in the outfield right now. I mean, their
farm system is loaded, too.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So he's saying potentially De Leon for Verdugo and, you know, somebody else. I've heard not only Jose De Leon, but Austin Barnes and
catcher.
Who's a catcher who's not been exactly lighting it up, but I mean, who amongst the Rays organization has been lighting it up at catcher? So
he says that he's a very interesting player. He plays catcher, second base, and third base. He's an offensive minded type of guy, doesn't strike out much, and he puts at the end, could play catcher too. And you know we need one, which we desperately do.
We desperately need a catcher.
So the final deal for a deal with the Dodgers, he says, would look like Chris Archer and Brandon Guyer, for Jose De Leon, Alex Verdugo, and Austin Barnes.
Yeah.
So that'd be a nice return. I like Guyer a lot, but of course, I think everybody's on the market.
I think everybody's on the goddamn block right now.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I've also heard people bring up Julio Urias, who is
I've heard that name too.
I think he's kind of like the Dodgers, Blake Snell. I don't see them parting with him. He's a 19-year-old guy. Like, they drafted him on his 16th birthday. They just called him up. I really don't see that happening.
Not. The Dodgers, they seem like a team that's really invested in keeping their prospects and not trading them for old, aging veterans and stuff like that, which is probably smart. You're not going to pry away guys like that from them for just Chris Archer. It's just not going to happen, I don't think.
I think you got to get, like, I like the idea of getting JDL, which is what I'm going to call him. We're on personal terms right now. I like the idea of getting a JDL and perhaps like an Austin Barnes or, you know, another hitter attached to that. I think that's what we have to do. I mean, we've got perhaps a rotation that could keep us solid, maybe. Like, I think if we can play defense behind those starters and have a somewhat of a bullpen, then maybe we can be competitive. But I really think it comes down to having to staying competitive as a hitting team, and then maintaining that starting pitching, that rotation. Like, we've got to still pitch well. I mean, that's the paramount here.
We've talked about it. There's only one way the Rays can build, and that's through drafts and trades and the farm system. They can't build any other way else. So you got to that. It starts with the first. It starts with restocking the farm, and the farm is not barren, but it's not the best right now.
No.
And it's certainly not good enough to say that we're going to be a contender in 3 to 4 years. So, I mean, look at the Astros. The Astros are a perfect example. They just sucked for like 4 years, 4 or 5 years. They were awful in every facet of the game. And now they're completely stocked to the point where they're looking to trade prospects because they have no room for them. Like, that's what the Rays need to do.
Yeah, we used to be that team.
Yeah, we did. We used to have so much pitching that we didn't know what to do with them all.
Yeah, now we're kind of like, you know, we're holding a deck of cards in our hand. And we're just like, you can have this guy maybe. Like,
you know, let me say this. I'm not the normal kind of fan when it comes to sports. Like, I actually like watching a rebuild take place because I like watching the pieces come together and keeping that track of prospects and stuff like that. And there's like no pressure on the team either. It doesn't feel like, you know, when they're rebuilding. So it's just kind of fun to watch the young kids play, but there's this fan base is certainly not going to be that way. Everybody's not going to be that way.
No, I mean,
it's going to be really rough. Rough rebuild.
I think I think you said it, or I forget who said it, but like you barely see anybody tweeting about the games anymore when they're
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, I did say that. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it sucks right now. This is not good times for the Rays. It's it's worse than the Devil Rays times almost, because
think we're gonna save Carlos's other part of the email for next week. I think we should do that.
You want to?
Yeah, I think we should. I think because next week's gonna be closer to the deadline, and unless somebody gets moved between now and then, but.
Okay, we'll keep it in our back pocket. But thank you so much, Carlos, for putting that together. And it was not for nothing. We're going to read it on the podcast.
Yeah, it's really, really well put. Like, you should probably write about baseball. That's how good it's put together. So
maybe if there's ever a War of the Bay blog, if that ever happens.
We'll end up like Barstool Sports. I mean, we'll just start posting bikini pictures and stuff like that.
Fuck yeah,
it'll
man.
Just be us. It'll be us in bikinis.
Yeah,
it won't be us.
Rock and roll. We live. Yeah, it's bad times for the Rays, but right now. But you know what? There's some reason for optimism.
Yeah.
Blake Snell just had an amazing start. He had a great start. He had some awesome looking stuff, and
his curveball is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is his go out there and get him kid year, and fuck yeah, man, I am very excited for Blake Snell. And if we somehow, if it comes to be that we keep Archer and perhaps trade Odorizzi, and maybe Archer comes back, because Archer's he's had a good couple of starts these last few games, or at least the last two games. He's had some good starts.
He's looked better.
He's looked a lot better. And if maybe he can realize that potential, then boy.
You know what? You know what's funny? I said earlier in the year the Rays don't make any sense, and they still don't, because we went into Coors Field and our pitching looked the best it's looked all year at Coors Field.
Yeah, it's true.
Two of the three games we pitched like two of our best games.
Well, you know what? I'm not surprised, Anthony. I mean, that's a pitcher's ballpark, so. I mean, I'm not really shocked.
I remember that. That was great.
It was great. But
it's a pitcher's ballpark, man. It's Coors Field, don't you know? Thin air.
Pitcher's ballpark, man. That's what Corey Dickerson
ball spins differently.
It's so good. Yeah, it just said that it rises in the heat or the lack of humidity.
Did you see that Evan Longoria home run?
Yeah, dude.
Jesus
Christ. I hate that Longo's doing so good this year because we're doing so terrible.
I love it.
The one year, the one fucking year.
His trade value is going to be fucking
God
awesome.
Damn it. Why couldn't this have been last year? Like that he did. Oh, fuck me, man.
Wasting it, man.
We're so wasting it. He finally is having a great season, and it's just like, fuck him.
We usually say, like, Longo's going to hit like 260, 20 homers. No, he's already at 20 homers. He's almost hitting like 300.
You know, let's bring up his stats right now. I haven't looked at him in a while. I haven't been to a game in a while. That, like, usually I get refreshed on Ray's stats when I go to a game and actually sit there and watch a goddamn game and look at their
they've been on the road quite a bit.
They have, too. Yeah. It's been shit, I don't have a game next week. I think I have a game the week after.
They're in Oakland, and I think they come home after Oakland.
Yeah, I don't have many left, but what's he hitting this year? He is hitting 272.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with an OBP of 347, slugging of a 491. He's got himself. Wait, no, this can't be right. This says 15 home runs.
No, you're looking at a different year. I knew he wasn't hitting 272. It was way too low.
22 home runs. I'm sorry.
Is he really hitting 272?
He's hitting 291. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Yeah, he's hitting 291. His OBP is 338. His slugging is 552. I was looking at his 9-year average on baseball statistics.
He's probably going to get to 30 homers, man.
Yeah, 54 RBIs. God damn. Yeah, he's having a great year this year.
Of course. Fucking we're 20 games under 500.
I know.
How many of those years, like, would he made such a difference having a year like this when with all those guys on base that he just couldn't get in?
You know, for 2 years. You know what? 2009, he had 33 home runs, and we did dick that year.
And he was hurt most of that year, too, and he had 33 home runs.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just how the game – that's how the game goes, my friends.
Remember that storyline? Oh, Evan Longoria's injury prone. Oh, fucking.
Yeah.
And then he just goes out and plays a whole bunch of games in a row.
He's
not everybody's injury prone, people. People just get hurt. It happens.
Jerome McCoy's injury prone.
Yeah, but we were saying that.
Yeah, we were. Hey, we're so fickle in this goddamn town.
We really are.
It's
kind of sad.
Oh. I had one more thing I want to talk about, and then we can wrap it up.
Let's do it.
But should we? Let's just say the. Wait. Jared said Bishop with...
We were talking about injuries.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he thought he got traded or something.
I was like, stop the presses.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. It finally happens while we're podcasting. And then we... Okay. What do we say? The Rays suck?
Of course they do.
Of course they do. Okay.
They're going to suck for the rest of the year. I don't care what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never said a fucking word to you.
One last thing I want to talk about is Tropicana Field. I saw somebody at work actually handed me a list of potential stadium locations that the St. Pete City Council came up with for Tropicana Field. And there was a lot of interesting locations listed there. Number one, of course, was Tropicana Field, just like the location that they're at now. They also listed some locations in the Caroline area, which, you know, we all know they've been talking about. But some of the interesting ones that I saw were Oldsmar, like all the way up in Oldsmar. So for those of you that don't know, the very tip top of Tampa Bay is Oldsmar. So if you look at Tampa Bay on a map, and you look at the very top of it, and you know that's Oldsmar. It's such a strange location. And then also like over like up in Clearwater by the Bayside Bridge, like that kind of area, like this is a strange area to want to put a stadium. Like, you got to put it by 275 somewhere. It's got to be along 275, right? I mean, am I crazy for thinking that?
No, you're not at all. I if we put it anywhere else, it's just going to have the same issues that they say the Trop has.
Exactly. You got to put it 275. I think one of the interesting ones I saw was Derby Lane, which is would be cool, but what's going to happen to Derby Lane? Like, I don't get it. Don't get it.
No, I don't either. We've talked about it before. I don't know where to put it, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we talked about it a month or so ago,
Hillsborough River.
That Hillsborough River location, like right there at that bend. Yeah, I mean that's
being close proximity to Lightning, like
it would be.
Yeah.
Just like I said, it'd be like almost a diagonal line from the new Trop to Raymond James to Amalie Arena. Well, I mean, whatever they call it. Fucking.
What should be the name of the new stadium?
Let's see. It'll be called the Donald.
The General Auto Insurance.
The Donald Trump Memorial Baseball Field. Glory. All glory to
is he going
to
be assassinated by then?
Glory to Grand Leader Trump. All glory to you, Trump. And we'll have to pay homage to his picture. You know, we sing the Trump national anthem, and then we sing the regular national anthem before the game. Yeah, it'll be called the Trumporium.
By the way, that assassinated joke, I'm not serious. I'm not planning to kill Donald Trump, I promise. Okay, don't come after me, please.
None of us are serious. Okay. No. It'll be called the Trop 2. Tropicana Field Part 2, The Reckoning.
It's just going to be the Trop turned upside down.
Yeah. Everybody sets it. This is dumb. Why did we do this?
Yeah.
Open air. Like,
it was funny for like 5 seconds.
No roof.
Would be such a Tampa thing, is we'd name the stadium something as a joke. Like, it'd be like a joke. Like, they do a Twitter thing, like, name the Trop. And we get behind something stupid. And then, like, after, like, a game of it, like, we'd be like, all right, this was kind of dumb. Why did we do this? Now we're stuck with it for 20 years.
Troppy McTrop face.
Yeah, Troppy McTrop face.
Something
or like the Julio Lugo Memorial Stadium.
Jose Canseco's the big piece of shit stadium. Fuck the Yankee stadium.
If the Rays were to build a statue right now, a player, who is it?
It would probably be...
It'd probably be Joe Madden.
Yeah, it'd be Joe Madden bringing a python into a dugout. Like, Joe Madden holding a python. Look how wacky he is.
it'd be the dog pile from when we won the wild card.
Yeah, really.
It'd outside, be, like one of the, yeah.
It'd be Akinori Iwamura putting both his hands up, like, we did it!
Not even, I'm talking like when we got into the playoffs. It'd be the most pointless statue ever made.
I still remember that too. Joe Mauer hit a foul ball that Evan Longoria caught over on the third base side. He smacked the fucking thing twice and was like, "Yeah, we're going to playoffs." And ever since then, the Rays, it was just good enough to make the playoffs. That's all we had to do.
Tampa good.
Yeah, no, I want the statue would be Stu Sternberg doing like the make it rain thing. that would be the statue outside Tropicana.
It's the St. Pete City Council.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
It's like Bill Dudley and you know, Carl Nurse and Wingate Newton are like crying at his feet.
Will Myers statue.
And a Will Myers, like, behind him with a Padres uniform, just being like, with double middle fingers, fuck you.
Dude, I just think we should hang banners for the Yankees in our own stadium since they're so connected with the area and everybody loves them here.
Yeah, really. They play baseball down there in Tampa. Why not?
Yeah, just Yankee. We'll just take over their history and make it ours. Hey, remember when Derek Jeter fucked my favorite all-time Ray? There you go.
It pretty much is, you fucks. If you never had Tampa, your team wouldn't be so good. Why? Maybe they trained in the heat. They trained in the heat, my friends.
You know what? Jeff Finnick just needs to buy the Rays. That's really the thing here, Kyle.
Jeff Finnick needs to install an outdoor. Listen to me. Jeff Finnick needs to install an outdoor glice skating practice arena for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We practice in the heat, okay?
Glice skating?
Glice skating. It's like that plastic ice that like they bring out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff Finnick installs that shit in downtown St. Pete or, you know, wherever the fuck he wants to put it. And they practice there and they become accustomed to heat. So that way, when it comes time for the goddamn season, boom, we're ready for you, man. We can go six periods if we wanted to. We go eight periods, man. Morning skate.
Kyle ran the city of Tampa, we'd have a stadium in the water.
Yep.
We'd have the Lightning training outside.
Yep.
And the Bucks would still have their old uniforms.
Yep. Orange and white uniforms to boot. Or, like, you know, we'll change it based on how we feel.
I still don't get why you don't like the new uniforms that much.
All right, let's put it this way. Like I'm very much a fan of like the old school aesthetic of just like simple colors, one color, you know, one or two colors. That's all you need. Like, you have a color, you have a stripe on your shoulder pads, you maybe have a stripe on the bottom of your shirt, and that's it. That's all the fuck you have. That's what you're working with. Why do we need to have like, you know, a cut in at the shoulder pads and then like two different colors and like there's a little bit of orange here and then like the numbers are like authentic blade carvings? Like, it's fucking lame, man. It's lame as shit. Like, I hated it. When I first saw it, I first saw that goddamn uniform on Doug Martin, I hated it. So
remember how excited everybody was?
Yeah, I know.
Typical Tampa.
Man. I mean, I'm
just
slowly
disappointed by everything.
I'm slowly forgetting how awesome the old uniforms were. And I'm just...
Dude, I was so sad we never broke out the black ones that I used to see every once in a while.
Oh, the old third alt black ones. Yeah, those were the best.
Yeah, that we wore. God, that would have been sick. Can you imagine like a night game with those?
These new ones are so awful. I hate them. I still hate them.
And we're probably going to win a Super Bowl in them at some point with Jameis Winston.
Look. Look at the old uniforms. Like everybody's forgetting. Like we've been so accustomed to these new uniforms for the past few years that we forget how great the old ones were. It was just a goddamn red jersey, and it was those pewter pants with stripes down them. They were real simple.
They were real simple.
There was no frills to them. You had the goddamn helmets. They looked so good.
rank Tampa Bay uniforms. Out of the three teams,
number one Lightning, because they have the old they have the old school aesthetic. They have like that's, you know,
solid blue and white.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're stealing from the Maple Leafs. Yeah, because the Maple Leafs look good. Like that's a good looking uniform. So yeah, we're stealing from the Maple Leafs. Fine. Like you guys have a good looking
the nice patch on the shoulders.
Yeah, it's a really good aesthetic. The old school aesthetic. That's what I like. Second Rays, third Bucks.
I don't like their alternates, but that's a different story.
The alternates are a little dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little...
But, Razor... I really think that the powdered blue should be our regular home uniforms.
No.
And the sunburst should be our logo.
I like the Columbia blue.
That's what I meant.
The dark blue. I like the dark blue.
Oh, okay, the dark blue. Okay.
Yeah, we don't wear it a lot, but that's my favorite version
and
of Razor.
I think the sunburst should be our logo.
Nah, I like the TB. That's my favorite.
I like the TB, but I feel like people don't like. I don't know how to say it, because I feel like we're supposed to be rays of sunshine.
No. I mean, you're right. You're not wrong. But I like that TB for the simple fact that, like, I have a few different hats that say TB, and I can wear them and support whatever. So, like, if I wear a TB hat with blue and a Lightning jersey, I'm still supporting the Lightning. If I wear a TB hat with, if I wear my red TB hat or an orange TB hat with the Bucks, I'm still supporting the Bucks. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I hear you.
I like that about it.
I've wore Lightning hats to race games before.
Do it all the time, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
At a Lightning game, it's different. Like, yeah, I need to be wearing, like, a Lightning shirt or a Lightning hoodie or something like that. Like, but, like, at a baseball game, like, I just wear a hat. Nah. Like, I don't really need to wear anything else but a hat.
To me, that TB is representative of the entire area. Like, that's not just the Rays. When I wear that hat, that just means Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay. That's what that means to me.
I mean, we could always, like, start a fan group at the Rays games.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, August 20th.
We could come up with stupid chants. And...
August 20th, we're having a tailgate party, so if you guys want to come out and hang out, then fucking let's go. Like,
come find us.
Come find me. I'll be blackout
drunk. We'll be the drunk section.
I will be blackout drunk before I get into the game. I do it every year.
We're going to be really loud for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. Okay, guys. We're calling it quits for this episode.
We actually got a long episode with only two of us.
Got a pretty long episode. It's easy. You just talk about your shit, and that's all you got to do. First and foremost, let me urge anybody listening to the sound of my voice to go to my Twitter page. I am at Kyle, KYLEWOTB. You can go there, and pinned to the top of my Twitter profile is the link for the Creative Loafing Best of the Bay 2016 awards. Go and vote for Word of the Bay for best podcast of 2016. There's about 500 other podcasts in the goddamn category. So, you know, our chances of winning are slim. But, you know, I'm still going to campaign for it. I'm still going to try. And
I mean, as we slowly kill off those other podcasts, it'll be less slim.
But. Yeah, you know, we'll Highlander the whole fucking deal. So, you know, just make sure you go there and do that. And while you're there... I just forgot everything I was going to say. Make sure you go to sharkdropper.com. I have a lot of other podcasts that I do. Anthony has been featured on a couple podcasts. Nick does a few different podcasts as well. So, make sure you go there and check out all of our podcasts. And
next week I'll have a better mic, by the way.
Oh, Anthony's upgrading. This is the last time you'll hear Anthony in such a way. He's going to sound
really
like
fucking
I
can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to sound sexual and awesome. Well, that's sexual. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with that. But rate and review us on iTunes. That's about it, really.
Yep. I think we're ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow the board of the thing on Twitter.
Yeah. WOTB podcast.
Going to be an animated every Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Last week was good. The week before was good. So... yeah, make sure you do that as well. Fuck yeah. Almost an hour and 30 minutes on this.
Sweet.
All right. That was Word of the Bay for this week. I'm Kyle.
I'm Anthony. Nick's here somewhere.
Nick's somewhere. He's out in the ether. We'll see you next week.
Bye.